Orleans clubs?
No, 19 or 20.
Really? Wow.
Well, the Hitman Bandit came out this weekend.
The what?
When the game
came out this weekend?
Well, it wasn't the game. It was a beta for it. Wait, it was Division that came out today?
No homework in your emails now. No more homework.
Yeah, the Division came out today.
Okay. So, everything that we're going to go over today is in under BBNet Array Zipped. Okay, so, and I forgot to open VB.
Whoopsie.
No, we're going to assume that it's figured out how to open that.
Maybe it's warmed up by now.
Is it ramped?
That's
still?
Right. That's what we're going to assume.
You should get a new tower up there.
We should get new ones for everything in here.
I mean, at least you should have a new one. I have a laptop. I don't care about the things.
Not too bad.
That wasn't bad at all.
No
kidding. Okay. Yeah, but now I got to click on file open. And
yeah.
It doesn't seem to think that's a good idea yet. There we go. File open project. That's right, you got to download that. And when you download that, you get all of these. Okay, so there's a load of them that you should be getting when you download the arrays. And those are them. Okay. The one we looked at last time was airfare.
Yep.
And for some reason, I don't think we were done with that, so I'm going to go back to it. So we're going to go back to airfare. I think I had not explained the code. I think I'd explained the arrays, but not the code. So we're going into airfare. And again, remember that you have to click through migration stuff. I've already done it. Once you do it once, it's all set. But you have to just click through the migration stuff. So you click an OK, and then I think you click an X to close it down. But you need to do that so that you have these, because these were written in VBNet. Okay, so we've got the arrays set up. And we have a 2 1-dimensional arrays and 1 2-dimensional array. And the 2-dimensional array means that I need 2 pieces of information to access it. So the code that I have up here, I dimmed from pointer to pointer and price and work message. So I dimmed all of those as work areas that I was going to use. Then I started out, I said, if is numeric. And I am checking to see if the from and the to that they entered in on the form. Okay? And then I said, okay, so if numeric and it's less than 4. So I'm looking to see if text from is numeric and is less than 4. Okay, because my array, if you look down at the bottom, the highest number in the 2-dimensional array is a 3. And the highest number in the from array is a 3. And the highest number in the to array is a 2. So I want to make sure it's less than 4, which means it's 1, 2, and 3. And I probably should have also made sure it wasn't a negative number, but I was decided to trust the user not to put in a negative number. Because 0 is okay, huh?
We'll do that right now.
So I said, if it's numeric and is less than 4, then put it in the from pointer. Okay. If it's not, I'm going to skip all of this and put out an else that says from city is not valid, okay, or to city is not valid, or whatever is not valid. We'll look at that in a minute. So then I said, okay, if that's okay, now check the two. So if the two is numeric and it's less than three, then move it to the two-pointer. Okay? So basically, I am checking and making sure that I have valid pointers, valid subscripts, valid pointers, whatever. That's what I'm doing. And then once I know it's valid, I said, okay, work price is going to mean go to the array with the from and the two-pointer. And the first one is going to look at the first number. Okay, so if I typed a 2 and then a 1, it's going to go down there and get 1120.98. Okay, if I entered a 2 and a 1, it's going to come down here and get the 2-1, which is $1,128.98. Yes?
What is as single? I've never seen that before. When you're dimming your variables?
I'm not, oh, as single. That just means a, like double, only it's smaller.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what the exact definition is. They're, basically, they all work all right. If you come here, let's try it. That's what I want. Okay, so if I come here and I say VB as single. Yeah, it is. It's a smaller length of double.
Yeah.
So that's what it says. Use the single data type to contain floating point values that do not require the full data width of double. So it's a smaller version of double.
So is there like a limit to how high the number?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, it must be.
And I think I just clicked away from it, so feel free to go.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So work price, but you know, on something like this, I'm talking numbers that are the most in their thousands, so I don't even have to bother to check. It's going to be fine. Okay. So now I've said, okay, take, go to the array, get it, and put it in work price. So now I have something in work price, something in from pointer, something in to pointer. So I start out and I say, okay, work message equals the price to fly from, concatenated with, from city, and get the one that the from pointer is pointing to. Concatenated to, and the underscore means continued on the next line. So I'm concatenating that with the word to. I'm concatenating that with go to the to city array and grab the thing that to pointer is saying. I'm concatenating that with is. I'm concatenating that with format the currency. Of work, format is currency, work price. And then once I got the message all put together, I'm saying put it out there. So I get a message out there in the box. So if I put in, as I said in a minute ago, so let's say I put in 2 and 1 and say get price, it gives me the price to fly from Austin. Okay, so the 2 got me Austin. And then 1 got me Baku. And then is, and the 2-1 got me 112098. Okay, so those are getting me what I wanted. And where's Baku? Very good. Okay, so now I have my else here. And the first else goes with the problem with the text for 2. And so I write on message from city is valid, to city is not valid. Because I wouldn't have got there if the from city wasn't okay. So I'm writing from city is valid, to city is not valid, and ending that if. Else, okay, I'm saying if numeric and less than three, because basically I need to check. Here I got out because the from thing is wrong, but I don't know about the two, and I want to tell them about the two. So down here I'm asking, how's the two? Okay, if the two is okay, I'm saying from city is not valid, but to city is valid. Else, I'm saying both of them are invalid. So I'm trying to give my user feedback on that. So if I enter 2 and 4 and say get price, it says from city is valid, to city is not valid, and gives them the information. If I enter 4 on both of them, then it gives me both from city and to city are invalid. Okay, so I am telling them what is wrong if they enter a bad number. My problem being that if the from city is not good, then I know I'm out of here, so I don't even bother to check for the to city. But to put out a message, I need to, so I drop down and check on it there. Okay. Questions? Yes, no, maybe?
Just like a MySQL?
Just like everything. I mean, really. You know, as I've said before, learning your first language is awful. Learning your second language gets easier. Learning your third language, yeah. You know, by the time you get to three or four languages, it's the little things that get you. Is why did they do it that way?
Yeah, like the not equals threw me off.
Yes, and it's all those kinds of things that do it. Close the solution. Now I'm going to open the same thing, only the one that says implicit after it. Okay, so this is just another way to set it up. The other way takes a lot more time and everything like that, but to some degree it's a little clearer. Okay, so I left that in so you could compare it. So up here I say dim price array, and the comma in there means it's a two-dimensional array. For some reason they decided a comma there means it's a two-dimensional array as single. And then I started in, and if you look at the top row, notice the curly braces. There's curly braces around the whole thing, and there's also curly braces around each row. And then there's a comma, continue on the next line. This could all be written on one line.
So would a three-dimensional array have two commas?
You know, that's a good question, and I meant to look that up this weekend when I was doing that, and I didn't. So go look it up. Go look it up. Because I actually thought of that, and then I forgot about it. Okay, so now notice 897, those are in sequence here. So that first row is the zero row, and it goes the zero row, and it goes 0, 1, and 2. And the next one is the one row, and it goes 0, 1, 2. And the next row is the two row, and the next row is the three row. So basically each row is a from, and then it's telling all of the twos within it. Okay.
The answer is yes.
It's two commas? Really? I've got some comments about that too. Does that seem like a strange way to do it? Okay, so we have the from on each row. And then the two is going across the top. Okay, so each row is a from. Because if you look down below, you can see the numbers. And the first number is the from. And the second number... No, wait a minute. Yes. The first number is the from. The second number is the two. Okay, so those are the froms. There's nothing else different about this program. It's just a different way of setting up the array. So the last line is the threes, and you can see it going across there, 750, 950, 250. That's the last line, and that's the threes. Okay. So there's a lot less typing to do it this way, but I don't think it's as clearly documented as doing it the other way. And sometimes you have to weigh that I think the other way, you know, documents it a little bit more clearly, in my opinion. Okay? But that's an alternative way of doing it. Questions?
So, a four-dimensional array?
You're in charge of that. Do you know, I don't think I've ever done a four-dimensional array. I've done a three-dimensional. You don't want to?
No.
I don't think I've ever done a four-dimensional array. No, I'm not sure I ever do want to. And if you have a three-dimensional, as he just said, and then look it up, you have two commas there. And then you'd have another set of curly braces thrown in. And if you were down here, it's three numbers. First number, second number, third number. If you're doing a three-dimensional array.
So I guess they put the comma, it kind of sets up the structure of how...
Yeah. No, I mean, it does, apparently. Because notice there's a comma at the end of each row. And you'd have to, if you were doing a three-dimensional, you're going to have another set of curly braces and another set of... That's going to be a real pain. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to close this. And open another one. At some point I remembered which one I wanted to do next. Let's look at for each. Mainly because it starts with an A, so we might as well do that next. Yeah, no, that's a good one. The fun ones come later. These are basically the getting started ones. Okay, so I have two boxes here, two buttons here. One is the get data button, and the other is process data. Okay, so the get data is in a loop, and I said for I equals 0 to 5. Okay, we're back to one-dimensional arrays here.
Okay.
And you can see it up at the top where it says dim budget array is 5. That means the maximum one will be 5. Okay. So I am going to say here when I click on get data, it says enter the budget for department 0. And so 1, 2, 3 is going to be the budget for that. And this one will be 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. Okay? So I've got the the departments that go from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And all this was doing was saying, okay, I've got my, but I have not set up my array yet. I'm going to have an input box, and it's going to say, type in the number for the array. And I am going to put it into the array. So the first number, it ends up with an array that looks like this. So the first number goes into 1, 2, 3, I put. And then the next one goes here. And then the next one goes here. And so the index is 0, 1, 2, and then down to 5. Whatever. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so basically it fills the array. So I'm filling the array. And then I'm saying, okay, I'm writing out a line in the list box. So I wrote out work info equals, and I set up the line. When I've got a lot to do, I lots of times do that. I set up the line as work info, which I defined as a string. And then I say add work info into the list box rather than writing all that stuff after the list box. So I kind of do that kind of thing of set up and write, get it ready, and now write it, which to me is just less confusing. I'm getting it ready, and now I'm going to write it out as opposed to putting everything in there. So getting it ready includes department number concatenated with the number, concatenated with the space, concatenated with the budget amount, but now I'm making it formatted as currency. Now, the big thing down here is this for each. Okay. So, and this is kind of similar actually to what we were talking about in PHP for the people that were in PHP this morning. But for each work department budget in budget array. So the budget array has 6 things in it. For each means that when I start out, I'm going to have the 0 thing. When I go back, work department budget is going to be what's in 1. When I go back, work department budget is going to be what's in 2. And it does it automatically. Because I'm saying for each, and the name of work department budget is going to have 1 element in it. So for each in the whole. So the first time I am doing that, if the for each is going to grab the 123. So it's grabbing that 123. And I'm adding it to work total department. So here's work total budget. So I'm adding the 123 to it. Okay? Then I go back. Oh, wait a minute. These were 100s and 200s. Sorry. Then I go back up to the 4, and it says, okay, now, the next time through, grab that one. So I'm now at 223. And the next time through, work department budget is going to grab the next one. So I'm now at 423. And it will keep going through. And work department budget is the one that it is now focused on within the array. So I'm saying I want to do each thing in the array. And as I step through the array, the one that I'm currently processing will be in work department budget. So work department budget is 123, then it becomes 100, then it becomes 200, then it becomes 300 with each pass through.
So it's just adding up all of them?
Yeah. Well, it's not adding them, it's getting them, and then the add inside is adding them.
Right.
The add is being done in here. All this is doing is stepping through the array, taking the zeroth element, then the first, then the second, every time it goes through the array. So it's really kind of the same as writing for count equals 0 to 5. It would handle it the same way, if I wrote for count equals 0 to 5. And it would go through and take the zeroth and then the first and then the second. But in this one, as it's going through, 123, then 100, then 200, and it goes on. Yes, no, maybe? You look like you don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Question? You're not happy with it, I can tell.
I still hate the four loops.
Huh?
I still hate the four loops.
Yes, you get too personally involved.
This is so much extra work.
It's, okay. Having
a, it's sort of like a vector, I noticed, but not really.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're saying either. Basically, again, the array has them all in it, but I want to process them individually. And so the for each means for each one. I'm going to process each one in the array. And as I'm processing each one, I'm going to call it work department budget. And so work department budget will first contain the zeros, then the first, then the second, then the third, and it will just go through, and it will contain whatever one we're currently processing. So for each means it's going to step through it. So then when I run the total, process data did that total, and apparently it came out with 1623, 12, 14, 15, yeah, it did. So it can add. So it added them all up and came up with 1623, and then put it in this box format in this currency. Questions?
Sense now.
Huh?
Makes a bit more sense now.
Okay.
This is a for loop threw me off guard. I don't like for loops.
I don't like for loops. No, you and Tom don't like for loops.
I like for loops. I don't like these for loops. I like because
I don't think I want to know. That's okay.
You know, I just want to put it in some, you know, parentheses and just put the initializer, the condition,
yes,
and then the add.
That's
all
right.
I want to do.
And that's just standard for loop.
Yeah, I don't want to do all this extra whatever. You know.
For each two.
That's a new one.
This only difference here is I went from 1 to 6.
Man, that's way too much work.
The only difference here, on the other one I went 0 to 5, on this one I just put a 0 in the 0th element and I went from 1 to 6. It doesn't impact the adding because adding in 0 doesn't hurt anything.
Okay, Jesus.
So if I care, I can put it and make it go from 1 to 6, put a 0 in the 0th element so that when I add them all up it adds 0. So this will get you the same results. So if I say get data, 1, 2, 3, 100, 200. It got me the same results. But if I like the idea of calling them department 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I can do it this way. Now, the other thing I could have done is say, put out the department number, concatenate it with whatever is in I plus 1 on the other one, on the old one. So instead of going 0, 1, 2, 3, it would have gone 1, 2, 3, 4. Because I can say, write out the word department, concatenate it with I plus 1. So then it takes I, adds 1 to it, and puts that out. So 0 plus 1 is 0, 1 plus 1 is 2, and all that good stuff.
Oh,
Okay, but if I want my, you know, most companies do not have a department zero. Okay, they have a department one maybe, but they don't have a department zero. So if I want to avoid calling something department zero, I can either fix it this way, or I could change the I to I plus one, huh?
Major fired.
That's right.
Zero.
So department zero gets no pay. Okay, that works.
But department zero's off the books, and they don't want anybody to know.
That's right. Highly secret. Yeah, but if somebody that's writing Visual Basic doesn't know better, they're going to reveal it.
Accidents happen all the time.
So you just get rid of array zero by making budget zero equaling zero?
Yes. I think that's what I did, right?
Yep.
Because you're saying it's there, but it's not worth anything.
Right. And I just put the zero in there for safe measure so that when I went down to do the add, it would add the zero in with all the numbers that I entered, which doesn't change anything. Because adding zero to, I can add zero as many times as I want to, and it's not going to impact anything. Okay, I think I'm going to look at parallel array next. If I remembered what I actually had figured out the order this weekend, but I need to write it down. Okay, so reality is that departments are not usually numbered 1, 2, 3 either. They have some other kind of name. And so what I decided here is I was going to have departments 15, 26, 37, and 56. Department 15 is going to be associated with books. Department 26 is associated with toys. 37 is associated with gifts, and 56 is associated with cookware. Okay, so I've got these two arrays set up. Okay, so this is an easy one to work with. And what I've got here, you can do this, come on. Is when I click on list departments, it shows me the department number and the department name. Okay, so I said here, and this is the one that you like better, for I equals 0 to 3. Okay, because up in the array, I go from 0 to 3 and 0 to 3. So I said for I equals 0 to 3. And then I said, okay, set up a list box and add to it department array modified by I. Okay? So it's going to take modified by 0, and it's going to put a 15 there, concatenated with some spaces, concatenated with department array modified by 0. And so I am getting the number, name, number, name, number, name, number, name. I think they're vacuuming out there. So I appreciate it. Yes, they're vacuuming. I appreciate it. Okay, so I got number, name, number, name, number, name, okay? So these are what's called a parallel array because the zeros go together. The ones with a subscript of 0 go together, or index of 0. The ones with an index of 1 go together. The ones with an index of 2 go together, and so forth. So that makes it called a parallel array. Okay, do you see how that works? So now I'm going to open search the parallel. Okay. So somebody comes in and they say, I want to find a match to 37. Okay, so here's my input. and I say, enter the department number. And you may have 0 to 3 written in parentheses after that. Yeah, I fixed it on mine. I didn't fix it on yours, so you can make it go away. I think yours probably says, enter department number 0 to 3. Well, again, copy and paste is a wonderful thing. Except that I'm not entering 0 to 3 here. I'm entering an actual number. So make the 0 to 3 go away. And you do that by going to the properties on the form. Okay, so I'm entering a 37 there. And I'm saying, now search, and it comes back with gifts. And 37 does indeed go with gifts, the way I set it up. So I set up an indicator called indicator found. Because I'm doing a search now, so I'm going to set up an indicator called found. And I'm making it have a value of n because it's not been found. Then I'm setting up a subscript of 0. Okay, now what do I want to do? I want to search this array. And I want to find a match. And when I find the match, I want to go to the second array and get out the name and display it. Okay. Now, if I put in an invalid number, I want it to come back and tell me that it's not a valid number. So I said on the do while, I want to do while the indicator found equals no. Because if it's yes, it means I found it, right? Okay, so yes means I found it. And I want to check the whole thing, so I want to do while it's no, and works of is less than the array length. Because once I hit the array length, then I've checked everything and I want out. So I want out if I find it, and I want out if I've checked everything. Okay? So if you come back here, and if I put in here, for example, message box, and I want to put out department array dot length.
Gotta change that C to an X.
Thank you. That's why I try not to do too much typing up here. Department array length, and I also need parentheses there. Only I put the parentheses, and then again, that's why I don't do a lot of typing up here. There, have I got it right? Okay, so now I'm going to run this, and I'm going to put in 26 and do a search, and notice it's coming back and telling me that the length of the array is 4, because there are 4 elements in the array, right? Okay, so that tells me there are 4 elements in the array. 0, 1, 2, 3 is 4 elements. The 0th, the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. But if I just count 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 4 things there. Okay? So length is telling me how many things are there, and it doesn't play around with starting with 0. It counts 1, 2, 3, 4. So that tells me there are 4 things there. So I'm now saying I want to keep doing this while the indicator found equals no, which means I didn't find it. And work sub is less than 4, because I want work sub to go 0, 1, 2, and 3. As soon as work sub becomes 4, then there's nothing in the array for it to look at. So I'm saying while it is less than length. So what I'm putting out here is this check will tell me if it's found, have for you and the second stuff. This check will tell me if it's found, and this check tells me if I checked all. And I want to get out for either reason. If I find it, I want to get out. And if I've checked everything, I want to get out. So I want to have those two reasons to get out of the search. Either I found it or I checked everything. Now my problem is, because it's a compound, I don't know which reason. So I'm going to have to check, okay? And the place I check is after the loop is over. I get out of the loop for one of those reasons. And now I say, okay, why did I get out? If I got out because it's a why, then I will put out the name. Otherwise, I will put out a message that says, no match found. Okay, so let's do that one. If I put in here now 33, and I say search department, it comes back with no match found. Okay, so it got out and no match was found. So if the reason it got out was indicator found was now a yes, then it moves the thing from department array using the subscript and moves it out. Otherwise, it moves out no match found, meaning that I checked everything and there wasn't any match. Okay, so now let's look what happens inside the loop. If C integer department number dot text, okay, equals department number array modified by work sub, then I find it. Okay, so what does that mean? I have a department number that I typed in. If the department number equals the number in the array I'm pointing to, so what happens? I start out work sub at zero. Okay? Well, I'm actually going to run this on a found basis, and then we will see it. So I'm going to put in the 37 again, so I go a ways. So 37 gets me gifts. Okay. So over here I've got basically work sub. And work sub I start out at zero. So it's an N, and work sub is less than the length, which is 4, so I go into the loop. If C integer convert text department number dot text. Okay, so that's 37. That's 37. If 37 equals department number array modified by work sub, so I'm comparing 37 to 15. Okay, with a zero. Are they equal? No. So I take the else and I add one to sub. Okay, so now I loop back. Is indicator a no? Yes. And is sub less than? Yes. So I go in, is the 37, and now I'm going to be comparing to, is it 37 equal to 26? No, they're not equal. So I take the else and I add one to sub. Now I go back, and the next comparison is going to be, is 37 equal to 37? And at that point, it's true. They are equal. And so I am going to change the indicator to found. So I'm setting the indicator to found. Otherwise, I'd add one to sub, but I found it, so I don't add one to sub. So now when I loop back, it says, do while indicator found equals no. Well, indicator found now equals yes, so I'm out of there. Okay, so indicator found is now a yes, so I get out. And then I go down and I say, if indicator found equals Y, then move out the one modified by sub. Sub is a 2, so I come over here. Since sub is a 2, I come over here and I get gifts. And I print out gifts. Okay. Now, I have seen people, when they've experimented with this, not have an else, but just always add to work sub. You know, I've seen people that wrote this and they can't figure out why it's wrong, where they don't have an else there and they always add to work sub. Well, if they did that, I would have added and I'd have a 3 here, and so I'd be saying that 37 was cookware. And I don't want to do that. So I only add to the sub if I do not find a match. If I find a match, I want to keep the sub where it is so that I get the right thing out of the one that has the words in it, the array that has the words in it, the apartment array. Does that make sense? This is a classic search. And there's not really much sense in reinventing the wheel. This is a classic search. Now, a lot of languages have a search verb. And as long as you want to do it the way their search verb works, you can probably find the matches just fine. But you should know what a classic search is, and this is pretty much a classic search. Okay? And you can change that while to a do until. So you can change it to do until indicator found equals yes, or sub is greater than the length. Sub is equal to or greater than the length. So you could change that to an or and say do while indicator found equals yes, or do until, I'm sorry, I said while. Do until either indicator sub equals yes, or the work sub has passed the length, or equal to or passed the length. So what I've got there is the do while, which is what keeps me in. I could also code a do until, which would tell me what gets me out. And as a programmer, I always have that choice. I can do what keeps me in or what gets me out. Okay. Questions? Honest, it makes sense. Okay, now I gotta remember which one I want. I think soup search is the one I want next. And if I discover I didn't cover everything, I will go back to it. Yeah, this is definitely the one I want next. Okay. So I have an array here that is the same thing, only this is a bunch of soups. And I have a file, and I'm doing the simple file way, not the streaming file way. So I said file open, the first thing I'm going to do is open the first file that I'm using. If I was using two files, one of them would be file one and one of them would be file two. I'm only using file one. I called it soup. I didn't put any extension on it. Probably should have, but I didn't. And the open mode that I want to use is input. So I'm opening for input. And I'm doing that in the load. So that in the load, I'm setting up my array, and I've got two parallel arrays, and I am opening the file. Okay, so that's what I'm doing there. So, if I now decide to run this, okay, order number 1, 2, or whatever, I think I'm supposed to put that out. I don't know, does that put that out? Or do I read it? No, apparently I read that too. So I'm reading off the file, and I'm reading the order number, the item number, the number ordered, and the item name. Now, the first three things are on the file. This one I need to figure out. And that is the usual thing. I lots of times don't carry something like a name on the file. I just said I ordered item 12, and the program can figure out what 12 stands for. Okay, and in this case, 12 is the second one down, so it's the second one down in the other, and so it's corn chowder. And every time I click on read, it is reading the next record. So I've got onion soup, I've got wonton, I've got green pea, I've got tomato, and I keep going. This one was apparently invalid. I put in an item number of 34, and it doesn't match. Okay? So I go back and go through this, and eventually I'm going to hit end of file. End of file reached, and I stop. Okay. So if I go in here, and I go to my F drive, and I go to arrays, and I go to soup search, I think it was, and I look in bin, and there it is. Open it with Notepad. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Sorry about that. I got to close before I can get to it. It's being used by somebody else, and that somebody else is me, and they do not want me opening the file that I'm in the process of processing, because that's going to throw the processing off. Okay, so there is my soup table, and that's where I found it. It's in the bin, and I just lost it.
It does not want to open the soup.
No soup for you.
No soup. So I've got all of the, these are the invoice number, these are the item number, that's the quantity. So it's the three things that I said I had are in there. Okay, so those are my soups. And when I step through, remember 34 came back as invalid, and there it is. And that was invalid because there was nothing to match it. Okay. When I am all done and hit the exit button, I do a file close. And in the meantime, I'm doing the processing. So, when I hit the button read, I basically take and I say, put the first field in, put the input. So I'm taking in the three fields and getting the data, and then I'm saying, okay, put it in the work area, and now put it on the text boxes. Okay, so I take in the data with the input statement, and then and tell it that it's file one that I'm taking it in from. The first input will take the first field. The second one will take the second field. the third one takes the third field. And then I take those work areas and put them in the text boxes, and then I go and do the search. And this one is very much the same as the other one, but this one shows the until as well as the where. Let me take a picture of that. And I'm doing these as functions. Okay. So I'm going out and doing a function. And when I finish, so I'm going out and doing search array. And I'm sending work item number. It receives work item number and uses it. When I'm done, the answer will be put into text item name.text. Because remember, a function returns something. And it is returning either the item number, so I'm saying either return item number array modified by item sub or return match not found. So I'm returning one of those things when the function functions. Okay? And I've got two functions that accomplish the same thing, but one of them is commented out, the other one is available. And so look at the do while. There are 9 things there. And so I can say, do while the item sub is less than 9 and match indicator equals no. Okay. And there's the 9 things. So I'm saying do while item sub is less than 9 and match indicator equals no. That's the one I commented out. And then the other one I'm saying do until item sub is greater than 8 or match indicator equals yes. Okay, because it's in a subscript and it runs, there's 9 things, but it runs 0 to 8. So once it gets greater than 8, I won't be able to find, I've checked everything. Or it's a yes. And then with the while, it's do while it's less than 9, which means up to 8. And indicator equals no. So the staying in is an and thing. Do when I haven't checked everything and I haven't found a match. But the do until is an or thing. Because I'm saying do until I've checked everything or I found a match. So do it until I have found everything or I've checked everything or I have a match. Stay in while I haven't checked anything and haven't found a match. When I haven't checked everything. Not anything, everything. When I haven't checked everything and haven't found a match. I think that's interesting, the way you phrased that. Okay. And then it's the standard search, where I look for a match to the item number coming in, to each thing in the array. When I find a match, I change the indicator. If I don't find a match, I look at the next thing, and I keep going until I check everything. But then, because there were 2 ways to get out, I need to figure out which one got me out. And I will return different things depending on what got me out. How you doing, folks? I've thrown a lot at you today.
A little bit.
I need more coffee.
So yeah. I noticed with most of the arrays, you pretty much set the array up when the form loads.
Yes. You want to have it all ready. So you either are going to set it up when the form loads, or, if you want the user to provide input, they can provide the input for it. but I want it ready to go when the program starts.
That last one where the user created the array.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing when things are changing constantly. As I told you, I think, my husband at one point had a client where the price of gold was changing almost on an hourly basis. And they'd made gold jewelry. And the prices were changing on an hourly basis. And so at that point, you want before the whoever it is that's running an order goes in, they need to put in today, this hour's, what the price of gold is right now. And then they can run a few things. And then when they stop, price may go up or down by the next group. But you want to put it in. Huh?
How long ago was that?
Oh, quite a while ago.
It's still changing every hour.
Oh, yeah. No, our gold is...
It's unbelievable.
Right. Right.
I'm sure it's higher today than it was...
Yeah, no, this was, he had a jewelry company in Rhode Island someplace that he was, had set up their system for. And,
You could sell that.
Huh?
You could sell that. I mean, think of all the...
They paid him to do it.
Wait, where in Rhode Island?
So they owned it.
Oh, so then they could sell it. Too bad he didn't develop it and sell it to them.
Right, right. No, that was a point when he actually had his own company, which he doesn't anymore, and he hired BCC programmers. So, he'd hire a bunch of my students to do programming.
Does he do any?
He's retired now.
He doesn't do anything.
He's got a couple of people. He does a little consulting, but he mainly consults for me. Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, as I told you, Charlotte had a problem, and I looked at it and said, this is going to take forever, and it did.
Yeah.
But he had more forever. He got it solved. But he had more forever time. 3 or 4 hours was fine.
I remember...
I didn't want to give up 3 or 4 hours.
Me and John were stuck on an Oracle procedure, and he fixed it like...
He's good.
Like that.
He's good.
I mean, he just stepped into it, and he just...
Yep.
Unbelievable. Her husband.
When he's hanging around waiting for me sometimes.
Me and John sat there for hours trying to figure this thing out. It took him like 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Yeah.
He's, as I said, he's the best debugger I know. And given my job, it's wonderful to be married to the best debugger I know. I can't...
You planned it.
Oh, absolutely. usually, he's only interested in challenging problems.
Yeah.
And that's why I could talk him into Charlotte.
Get his attention.
That's right. He's not interested in, finding stupid mistakes, so I get those. But if something looks like it's a long debugging process, I at least give it a shot to see if I can get him to do it. Okay, next. That was your break while we talked about my husband. Okay, that was soup search we just did. Substring soup, I think, is the next one. I want to do the soup. Yeah, now this one is a fun one. Okay, so now I've got the array all set up as one array. Okay. 03 seafood chowder, 12 corn chowder. So I've set it up as opposed to parallel arrays. I have set it up in one array. Okay. So what am I going to have to do in order to do the search? Since I've got it set up in one array. Anybody got any good ideas, even without looking at the code? In the searches that we've done before, we had to have this number to do the search, and then we had to be able to extract that name, right? And I did it in two parallel arrays, so the numbers were separate and the names were separate and life was good. Now I've put them together.
You have to take out the numbers?
That's right. I got to take out the numbers. And when I put out the name, I got to take out the name.
In-string.
That's right. substring, actually. But that's what I can do. Because I don't need in-string, because I know how many characters there are. Okay? And if I need to do that. Notice the 3, I put 03 to make sure that all the numbers were 2 characters. Okay? If I had a 3-digit number, I'd have put 0 in front of all of them so that I had them all a 3-digit number, rather than locating the break between them would have been difficult, although I could have put a slash in there and then done an in-string to find it. So if you look down below, this is very similar to the others, except when I start to do the search, I am saying item array modified by item sub dot substring parenthesis 0, 2. So this means go to the array, get the element the item sub is pointing to. So get the element that item sub is pointing to. And then once you've got that element, I want you to do a substring starting at 0 and going for 2 characters. So it's going to take the first 2 characters. And so then I can say work item number and compare it to those first 2 characters. Then, when I want to return it, I can say substring 2, meaning start with the 3rd character, because the first 2 are 0 and 1, so 2 is the 3rd character. Start with the 3rd character. Since I don't have anything there, it means go to the end. And I could have done those with the left, taking the leftmost characters, or mid, going to the 3rd character and going to the end. So those are alternative ways I could have done it. But substring is probably the one that most people would choose. Did you see how that worked? I had the whole thing. I went in and said, take the first 2 characters. Go to the array, get the one that the substring is pointing to, then do a substring on it, starting with character 0, take 2 characters. So that gets me the first 2 characters. Then when I'm ready to go out, I say, same thing, go to the item array, go to the one that it's pointing to, and now take the substring starting at the 3rd character, even though it says 2, it's starting at the 3rd character. It is 0, 1, 2, and go to the end. So not putting anything after that means go all the way through to the end. So that's kind of a neat way of doing it too. Questions? I don't think there are any more soups.
Well, this definitely made me understand in-string better.
Well, that's good.
Because in-string got... last week I was just...
No, that's good. Okay, now you're going to see this in other languages that you take.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see it. You've seen something like this in C? Because you've taken how many semesters in C?
This is my, well, 2 semesters of C.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it comes up in PHP.
Well, I saw an Oracle and PHP.
Yeah, Oracle does it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you learn this in one language.
I don't think he did something like that.
And see. No, he just may not have. But if you learn this in one language, then it's portable.
I'm sure it exists, though.
It's totally portable.
If anything, if it doesn't, you can make it exist.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
I think that's the end of the soups. So that means that's our end. I've got some other things I want to look at, but I don't want to start them at this point. So we will finish this up on Thursday. And notice, by the way, there is a create soup file one there, which is the one that writes out and creates the soup file. So if you decide you want to create a file, you can take a look at create soup file, and it will create. I don't want to run it because, and then I have to go in and change all my names, not wait and wipe out the file. But this time I'm opening it for output mode, and I just took in some data and wrote out a line. Interestingly enough, in this method, you can write out a line with three fields, write 1, 2, 3, but when you go to read that, you need an input, an input, and an input. Why? I don't know. But we read input, 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 but when we can write all three together as opposed to doing write, write, write. So that's the code that if you want to create a soup file, you can do. And I have the things to bring in, the order number, the item number, and the number audit. But as I said, I'm not going to run it because then I have to go in and change the names. And that's really not that difficult, but I'm still not going to do it. So, we're done.
Are you going to be here for what time?
Four.